بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we do the last hadith under the chapter of protecting one's tongue and the prohibition of riba. So up till now we've been various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warning us about the harms of the tongue and also warning us about the potential that the tongue has, or just one word, one statement made by the tongue can be a means of a person entering Jahannam. And one statement of the tongue, one good word of the tongue can be so beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one statement, one word can be a means for a person to get his Jannah. So this tongue is something that continuously we have to have under control. We have to look after the speech of ours. We shouldn't think of it as something light and something insignificant. But of that hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, that he expressed surprise to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ, that O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we be taken to task by what we speak? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, تَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ, that may your mother bereave you, O Mu'adh, that people will be thrown headlong in the fire of Jahannam, face long in the fire of Jahannam. Why? Because of what their tongues have earned. Because of how their speech was, what they have earned through their tongue. Because of this, they'll be thrown face long into the fire of Jahannam. Keep this in mind all the time. We are going to be taken to task for our speech. So we'll be very, very careful. If we are not sure the better thing to do, keep quiet. Don't say anything that will be a means of us going closer towards the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala and a means of us entering into the fire of Jahannam. So the last hadith under this chapter, an Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وعرضه وماله رواه مسلم. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said the blood, honor and property of every Muslim is sacred for another Muslim. In other words, to violate the honor, to violate the property, to violate the blood of another Muslim is haram. Why? Because it's sacred. Allah Ta'ala has made it that the blood of every Muslim is sacred. The honor of every Muslim is sacred. The property, whatever another Muslim owns, that is also sacred. It's not something that can be violated, not something that can be usurped, not something that can be abused. So this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very simply, beautifully it's encapsulating that the blood, the honor and property of every Muslim is sacred for another Muslim. In other words, don't go beyond this and don't violate the sanctity of the blood, honor and property of another Muslim. May Allah Ta'ala also give us the tawfiq of being careful. So how this falls in under this chapter is the honor. When a person is making riba, what he's doing, he's eating away, he's violating the honor of another Muslim. So he's going into a haram area by violating the honor of another Muslim. He may be sitting 1,000 miles away, or 2,000 miles away from that person, but he's actually eating the honor of another Muslim. Yesterday's hadith we did, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed Sahaba in front of them, when those two women were called and were asked to vomit into that utensil, or that dish, or that bowl, whatever it was, then the flesh and blood and pus actually came off. The person is actually eating the flesh of his brother. May Allah Ta'ala protect us, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of looking after our tongue. Yesterday I came across an incident of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi. These pious people were so careful, not only about the tongue, the eyes, the hands, the limbs. They were even concerned about the stray thoughts that went through their mind, and they gave it a little bit of thought. In other words, that stray thought that came, that wasn't a guna, it was a thought that came, and wasn't what to do with a guna, but because they gave that stray thought a little bit of time in their mind, it wasn't even really a guna, but because of their level of closeness to Allah Ta'ala, that also they would be concerned why they gave that stray thought, a little bit of extra thought. Stray thoughts, ulama explain, are like a dog that is barking. A person is driving, for example, his car on the highway or on the road, and the dogs that are barking on the side, he doesn't give it any attention. So stray thoughts are like that. When it comes into our mind, we don't give it any attention. It comes and it goes. A person won't be accountable on the day of Qiyamah for stray thoughts that come into their mind. But these pious people, if they had to give that thought also a little bit of attention, That also would worry them. That why did I give this state thought that attention? I shouldn't have given it that attention. So in one incident of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, all our pious, they had this level of ihtiyat. Ihtiyat means a level of caution that they had in their life, that they were careful that they mustn't miss out their tahajjud salat. So one practice that they would have is before the witr salat, they would read four rakats of tahajjud salat. So if our eyes don't open up in the morning, at least our tahajjud salat is performed. So many of our pious people had this practice, that before sleeping they would read four rakats tahajjud salat. So if the eyes don't open up, at least I didn't miss my tahajjud for the night. They were so particular. So Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion he was mentioning to one friend of his, he was giving this incident and mentioning to him. He says, probably his age was around 79 or 80 at that time. So he says that one thought before going to sleep came through my mind. Now, that my eyes open up, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that my eyes open up, it's now become a habit for tahajjud salat. So one night, before I could sleep, this was after I performed those four rakats, for caution that I would read every night, and I was going to sleep, but this thought came to my mind, that what is the need for me to read the four rakats that I read out of precaution? Because every night for so many years, my eyes just open up, and I just wake up with tahajjud. So what is the need for this extra precaution of reading my tahajjud four rakats before I go to sleep? Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali said, that thought just went into my mind, and I gave it a little bit of attention, that what is the need for this? So he says, that morning, it was just before Fajr Salah, his eyes opened. In other words, the time of tahajjud had passed. He said, Wah Allah miya me samaj gaya. Immediately he spoke to Allah Ta'ala. It's an expression. He said, Oh Allah, I have now understood what was the need for me to take that precaution. In other words, that straight thought also that went into the mind, Allah Ta'ala corrected it immediately. And these pious people, they were such that they would accept that correction immediately. That, Oh Allah, now I have understood what was the need for that precaution. This, they had this high level of precaution even with regards to the thoughts that would go through their mind. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. This chapter that we did, we're speaking about the precaution that the person takes with regard to his tongue, the physical moving of the tongue. So we can't be of that level where we are so careful that unnecessarily we don't entertain thoughts in our mind that we shouldn't be entertaining. At least we should look after this physical aspects that Allah Ta'ala has given us. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.